Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. Welcome to today's episode of Gold Star Classroom. This very special episode is being recorded in Tokyo, Japan, and it is my pleasure to introduce today's students. Sitting on my right is an actress based in Tokyo, Shinako Wakatsuki.
Yes, thank you.
No, thank you. And on my left is a mysterious stranger with a mysterious beard that we call Jeff Gedert.
It's not that mysterious. It can be explained by science.
From where we're sitting, we're not so sure. And sitting directly across from me is the director of the Pirates of Tokyo Bay Improv Group, Mike Staffoff.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Good evening. Thanks for joining in today's class.
Yeah.
It should be edifying for all involved. It is my job as your headmaster to ask you quiz questions about the breadth and length of human knowledge the globe over. And as any good teacher would, I'll be grading your answers.
Oof. Oh, I'm nervous.
Don't worry, I'm a very good teacher.
Yeah.
So no matter how stupid you think you are now, you'll be smarter by the end.
Yay.
Let me ask you this question. This is a popular culture question from the world of television. In the world of television series, what main character has been killed the most?
Kenny.
Kenny is a good answer. Any other opposing?
Can we define it by animation versus real?
You are welcome to ask me any questions that you like, but that doesn't mean I will answer them.
Oh.
Is it American one?
It is. This question is based on American television. Okay. That is true.
Kenny was a good answer.
I liked Kenny.
Gotta be Kenny.
X-Files.
X-Files is a great show. What character was killed on it multiple times?
Witnesses.
Sounds like the part I would play.
Yeah, right? I was first thinking Meg from Family Guy, but they don't really kill her.
Right.
Necessarily.
I do like the answer Kenny, but this is a question that has a twist to it.
Okay.
So I will now tell you the twist with a follow-up question. If it were me, I would answer this question as Captain Kirk on Star Trek. But the answer depends on whether or not you think their transporters kill you.
Oh,
so in Star Trek, they get in those teleporters and beam
down their molecules.
Yes.
I see.
And that kills a person being transported.
That is the question. When the first Star Trek series came out, they didn't really explain like the science fiction technobabble behind that device.
Right.
And so then fans started like wondering out like philosophically, are you the same person when you come out the other side?
Right.
Etc. Now, because those questions surrounded the culture of the first series, then in Next Generation and in some of the movies, they address like how that device works.
They explain that. Don't worry, he's not dead.
Right? Yeah.
We haven't killed Captain Kirk a minimum of 79 times.
Wow.
I use the number 79 because that's how many episodes there are of the original Star Trek series.
Yeah, you think it's so many more, right, to become a cult classic, but it's only just 79.
Yeah.
Isn't that like MASH, too? I think MASH is only a few.
It seems like it
seasons.
Went on for a long time.
No, MASH, though a digression, in American television, what you want is 5 years of your series.
And MASH was 9 years.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
Get points for that? Get points?
Mike gets points for asking.
All right.
Yes.
10 points, Mike.
All right, yes. I'm on
the
board.
I'm very quiet here because I've never seen Star Trek.
Oh, really? Minus 10 points for never seeing Star Trek.
I shouldn't confess about it.
That's 10 per episode.
Should really be plus 10 points, I think.
Yeah, I was very honest.
Well,
it's true.
So minus 790 points for not watching, but a gold star for honesty.
Okay.
Nice.
There you go.
50 points right there.
Good job.
Oh, the stars aren't worth any points. They're just stars.
Oh, no.
It's not even real gold. It's like a paper, sticky thing. The Gene Roddenberry introduced the transporter for a very practical reason. Roddenberry introduced the transporter into Star Trek
from the very first episode for a very particular reason.
Ooh. Because TV episodes are short and you didn't want to waste time showing how they got from the ship to the Earth, the planet.
A plus.
Really?
Oh, that is it. That is it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice.
You knew the question.
I did. I honestly had no
definitely
clue.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, I couldn't think of... The other reason I thought would be that he didn't have an idea of what kind of little ship would bring it down to the planet.
No, there
was... But I figured there's no time.
Yes,
I was
no
thinking budget, because the Ultraman series... When his chest flashes red,
mm-hmm,
that just means they don't have enough money to continue knocking down buildings.
Right.
For a Ultraman reference, you get 10 yen, but that's not the same as American points.
Right.
No, right. American television drama is an hour, which is only about 40 minutes of content.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if every episode they wanted to go down to a planet, if they had to use a shuttle ship of some kind,
right,
it would be expensive. But there are episodes where they use shuttle ships, so if they needed to, they could use them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the idea to not have shuttle ships and to save time and money by using a transporter was also borrowed from an earlier movie. So what was the older movie that was famous for introducing this technological science fiction
idea? Transporter technology in some science fiction movie from the 1950s?
Yes, you've summarized the question.
Day the Earth Stood Still?
Wow.
Boop.
Uh-huh.
If it makes a difference, I'll tell you the exact year of the film.
Ooh, that's going to help a lot.
No, it's not.
Tell me the month it was released. Yeah. Got so many ideas in my head right now, which movie it would be.
I've decided, it would make it so easy that I'm not going to tell you.
The day the Earth didn't stand still.
The day the Earth
came
moved
from Mars.
Yeah, there's.
I will give you a very good hint if you know your classic science fiction horror movies. It stars Vincent Price.
House of Wax.
That is a Vincent Price movie.
Okay.
No, it's not. Actually.
Jeez.
I don't think that is a Vincent Price movie.
I think it's a Vincent Price
movie.
It's Charles Bronson's first movie.
Okay.
Alongside Vincent Price.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
In a scene much parodied, for example, in The Simpsons.
In The Simpsons?
Kill me. I'm making a dramatic gesture for people at home.
Kill me.
Which isn't helping
me very much.
Sorry.
I'm not getting any charade points.
I only know the Good Evening Shining thing. The knocking on the door, banging on the door.
Oh, like Here's Johnny thing?
Yeah.
They did do a Shining parody.
Right.
That's one of my favorite episodes, actually.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, you'll know when I say it.
Twilight Zone episode.
Two, as we say, cut to the chase. The correct answer is the movie The Fly.
Oh, wow, okay.
And when Gene Roddenberry himself had not seen The Fly, but he was trying to think of how he could get people quickly to the planet. And someone else said to him, hey, have you seen this movie, The Fly?
Right.
They have this thing where they just teleports people.
Wow.
Gotcha.
So
I've forgotten that. They teleport people in The Fly?
Well, they have like two tubes, and you go from one to the other.
That's how
you
became
and
a fly.
That's right. There was mistakenly a fly in there.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I've seen that film.
Yes, it's great.
Got it. Okay.
But also, because in that film, there's like a mishap where he gets mixed up with a fly.
Mm-hmm.
Now people, a couple of years later, are watching Star Trek and seeing the same sort of sci-fi technology.
Right.
And they're wondering, what's going to happen? You know, are they going to get mixed up with flies? Are they going to be killed?
No.
Are they really the same person? So the idea that they're not safe.
Well, yeah. Dramatic. If there's a fly there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It is the case that in...
Pest control concern is what you're
space
saying.
Space flies.
Even in the first Star Trek movie... Like the reunion movie they did, they had a transporter mishap where like a crew member is killed because they're not transported correctly.
Right.
Mm.
But by the time the series The Next Generation comes out, Gene Roddenberry and the Star Trek creative team know that people are asking questions like, does the transporter kill you? What happens to you? Are you the same person? So they had some episodes along the way that show... how the technology works, gives it some just science fiction justification, but they also made it blatantly clear it does not kill you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time Voyager and Deep Space Nine came around, everyone's happy.
They just take it for granted.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you did quite well on that round. Let me put some notes into my grade book and examine your shoe sizes. I know in Japanese schools, they tend to beat students down, but as an American teacher, I want to build up your self-esteem. So I have here a list of random compliments for students, which I'm now going to compliment all of you together.
Oh. Yay.
Fantastic job.
Yes. Yay. Oh, nice.
Well, we only get one?
Yes, that's one of the
share
class.
That?
Yes. So you each got one third of a fantastic job.
Oh, okay. Four letters each.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
I'll take fan.
Test.
All right. As we move into our next test question, I have a very common phrase, and I'm going to tell you what the phrase is in a minute. Mm-hmm. The phrase isn't the question. It's the origin of the phrase. Where does the phrase, you've all heard it, I bet even you've heard it here in Japan, Holy Toledo come from?
Wow.
Jeff would like to add.
I think I might possibly have an unfair advantage here.
Oh, he's declaring an unfair advantage.
Aww.
Because I was born in Toledo. But I could still easily mess this one up.
Okay. 5 points for correctly knowing where you were born.
Thank you.
So do you have an answer? Or do you want to let them go first and then see what...
Oh, that would be nice of me, wouldn't it? Oh.
Jeez. Can you spell holy?
Oh, yeah, please.
In the usual expression, when people say holy Toledo, they do say H-O-L-Y.
Okay.
And Toledo is T-O-L-E-D-O.
Yep, yep.
Capital T, it's the name of a city.
And if you haven't heard it before, it basically just means, wow.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo.
Holy Toledo.
I'm gonna say because the Bishop of Toledo had a really nice mansion. And they drove by the mansion of the bishop's house. Everyone mm-hmm. else have their parishes and they're all normal. Mm-hmm. And then they drove by the bishop's house and were like, holy Toledo. That's a really big, nice, fancy mansion.
I really like that answer a lot.
The
what
sound
you got?
Of Toledo reminds me of burrito. So,
okay.
So I go for the best burrito in the world.
I like that better than the bishop.
I would like the best burrito in the world.
I'm actually mm-hmm. going to give you an A+ because the best Mexican food in the world is in Toledo. I strongly
Outside
recommend.
Of Mexico.
Yay!
No, including Mexico.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
That is how good it is. I strongly recommend any number of Mexican restaurants in the Toledo area. However, it has nothing to do with the phrase Holy Toledo.
Okay.
Jeff, what were you going to say as your suggestion?
What I've heard is that for entertainers who tour the country, there is certain cities that don't have as many people, don't have as many people in the audience to attend the performance,
okay.
And also Holy Week. We all know Holy Week, so I don't need to explain that.
carry on.
Yes, is also another time when people don't come out to see their performances. So the worst combination of those two is if you are performing in Toledo City during Holy Week. Oh no, there's no one in the audience. Holy Toledo.
Gotcha.
Ah.
I'm going to give you partial credit for that. That is, if you
just
were
just based on my performance
that,
or what?
Well, you get an A for your performance and you get a C+ for the following reason. If you were, for example, to do an internet search and try to find out what Holy Toledo means, you'll find several suggestions and then there's like the real answer if you dig deeper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And one of the suggested reasons is going back to vaudeville.
The best suggested reason.
Oh.
Is that vaudeville performers would often complain that there were poor attendances in Toledo. So that is actually, pardon me, one of the suggested origins of the phrase.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, on further study, we find that that doesn't hold up.
I got a chance. I got a shot for mine. I got a shot. Bishop, here we come.
Well, we know it's not Holy Burrito.
Mm-hmm.
We know poor attendance is a factor people talk about, but not the real origin story.
Is there actually a bishop in Toledo?
I don't know.
There is. There is actually a bishop in Toledo.
Ooh, I'm still on the board. Survey says.
You know how the Catholic Church has like dioceses and there's bishops and archbishops. So there is like a Catholic
Diocese of Toledo.
Toledo, yes.
So there is enough attendance for the masses, to support a bishop.
In the 21st century,
Holy Week, there should be.
That is another issue. The idea that there is an actual religious connotation, as your answer implies, is actually part of the correct answer. There is actually a overt religious connotation.
Oh, given that it's holy.
But there is one mistake that will seem obvious once I point it out.
People in Toledo all atheists or heathens?
Right.
It depends, my dear friend and fellow student.
It's not like Dearborn, Michigan, where No.
What Toledo you're talking about.
Spain. I was wondering about that.
Correct, because the phrase Holy Toledo actually goes back to Toledo, Spain.
So you're not Spanish.
I swear.
Okay. So the Bishop of Toledo, Spain has a really nice mansion.
In Toledo, Ohio.
Yes, you know, parts of Spain used to be part of the Ottoman Empire, and so therefore was like the Moorish version of Islam in the past centuries. When the Christian Europe retook over Spain, Toledo, Spain became a religious center.
Yes.
And so there are several cathedrals of, and also like a, you know, those monks love to learn. So it's also like an educational center, a monastic center. And the expression Holy Toledo is felt that it probably goes back to the holy history of Toledo, Spain.
I think there are regions in Spain where, because it was Muslim, largely Muslim for a while and largely Christian for a while, there's a lot of holy buildings that have combined architecture from Islam and
Islamic
Christianity.
Way and the European way.
Right.
Reconquista. Right? Reconquista, that's called. Like the Spain.
That's the style?
No, the Spain took back the Spanish.
Oh, from the conquistadors from the and then the Reconquista.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like a lot of the architecture
I'm gonna,
in Istanbul.
I'm going to fact check that for you. And if it's correct, I'll email you some bonus points later.
Yay!
Now, so the phrase Holy Toledo goes back hundreds of years. It does, however, get applied to Toledo, Ohio. So there is an association with the phrase Holy Toledo and Toledo, Ohio. There's no great stories about a bishop or his house.
I'm out.
It's actually during Prohibition, Toledo was considered a safe city for gangsters to meet in. And if you know the American Midwest, sort of Chicago's over on to the west, and Detroit's to the north, and Cleveland, and also Boston, New York to the east. So Toledo was kind of in the middle, and it was an open city, which meant no one gang or family controlled it. So it was a place that they would have meetings.
That's like
the
gangsters
would all converge.
Yeah, it was like a sanctuary town.
Have a sit down.
Yes.
Have you ever seen them?
No.
That's like where I'm from. I'm from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and you know, like 6 hours drive from Chicago. So back in the gangster era, the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul basically said to Capone and to all these guys, "You can, if you are here, you can come, and we won't chase after you or try to catch you. Just don't do any crime."
Right.
Okay.
So it's it's like an open letter. It's
tourist
like,
photos only.
Okay, so there's similar stories, I guess, to Toledo where they would hang out and just
interesting.
It is sometimes observed, and this does not necessarily bear up, but as a kind of urban legend, that Toledo has a large number of churches in general, and so sometimes visitors to Toledo will just mention that there's a lot of churches in this town.
Right.
Holy Toledo.
I did want to mention that there was a TV show in the 50s. In which a major character often said holy something something.
Right.
Including Holy Toledo, but he would say many phrases modeled on
variations on that.
Robin from Batman.
Robin from Batman. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's always saying
bam!
Yes.
Wow!
Yes,
right.
Correct.
Oh. Okay, I'm thinking of like a sitcom.
Well,
it kind of was a sitcom,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, right? Yeah, Robin.
And so, gold star for Mike. For getting the Robin reference.
Aww.
I will say too, it is common to have euphemisms so you don't swear.
Mm-hmm.
So like dang.
Right.
Or the Shakespeare, sometimes you see the word zounds. Mm-hmm. So the phrase holy something, like if you've ever heard the expression holy macaroni, holy mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole series of euphemisms.
Holy cow.
Holy cow.
Holy moly.
Yes.
Holy moly, yes.
I have one more topic for you guys. Since we are, since this class is happening on my travels abroad, I wanted to have a question that topic that had international flavor to it. Those last two questions were kind of Americo-centered.
Yes.
With a dash of Spain.
With a dash of Spain, and the Ottoman Empire made a cameo. Made a cameo. I have here some facts about a country. I'm going to start by listing three or four of these facts. And see if someone can guess the country.
Shout out the country.
And then as soon as we've got the country guessed, I'm going to ask just a few more trivia questions about that country. this country was the first modern nation to give women the right to vote?
Finland.
Any competing answers, or do you want to hear more?
Sweden.
Finland, Sweden. This country was the last major landmass to be inhabited by humans.
Toledo.
Wait, this country?
New Zealand.
Yes. New Zealand is the correct answer.
Oh. Yay! My husband is New Zealander.
I'm aware of his work.
It still took you two days. Yes. Yay!
Well, it's okay. Because in Japan they still haven't given women the right to vote. So
yes. Which era are we living now?
Which do you think is bigger, New Zealand or Japan, landmass?
Japan.
New Zealand.
Japan.
Well, those are your two guesses, so we've covered the two countries. New Zealand is larger than the UK, but smaller than Japan.
Yes!
Yay.
Yes. Do you know the name for the indigenous people of New Zealand?
Hi. Maori?
Maori, yes.
You are correct.
Yes.
You get 10 points. Woo. You get 10 style points for just looking good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Aww.
Yay.
So the...
She looks good.
True.
The Maori have their own name for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone know the
Aotearoa?
I get a 92% for your 92% correct pronunciation.
I was trying hard to pronounce it correctly.
Well, with my own American accent and all due respect to Maori people, it's Aotearoa.
Nice.
Aotearoa.
And I believe...
please.
I believe, I think, that they are the only indigenous people that didn't sign a treaty with England. In the sense of a peace treaty, or, you know, England came in and kind of dominated and said, now you're part of us. They were the only ones that England was like, all right, fine, just...
They still have their own king.
I'm making a kind of 50-50 gesture with my hand right now. The in the 1800s, the British and the French and a little bit the Dutch had colonies around those islands.
Okay,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
And... It was decided, but they were not a colonial possession of any of those countries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then a French ship was en route with the expressed intent that when we get here, we're making a French colony and we're claiming these islands for France. But there were already some British...
not Captain Cook.
No. There were already some British colonies and peoples living there. So a British diplomat convinced the indigenous Maori to, in fact, sign a treaty.
Oh.
That treaty was signed in 1840, and today is called the Treaty of Waitangi.
Oh.
But what I think is interesting about the Treaty of Waitangi...
It's a particularly liberal treaty where they have an exceptional number of rights and can do whatever they want to anyone at any given time.
No, the Maoris had their fingers crossed when they signed it, so it doesn't count.
You have some interesting ideas, but the way that I would phrase it... Did you want to add something?
No, I just remembered there is an emblem holding Maori people, Maori person, and
you've been to New Zealand, haven't you?
Yes,
and you have, I know, and you have. So all four of us have been to New Zealand at one time or another.
So we should all know this a lot better.
Yes,
right. Yes.
So the Treaty of Waitangi is one of the few colonial era treaties that is still enforced today. Maori people have taken that treaty back to the British Crown and demanded their rights from it. Whereas, for example, in the United States, with treaties with the indigenous peoples, they're just disregarded, historic ones from centuries ago.
Yeah.
So this was the opposite. Some Maori lawyers took the Treaty of Waitangi, literally to England, to the crown, and said, we insist that you honor this, because it gave them rights, like land rights and some rights of that sort.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's ironic that authoritatively say only, but maybe one of the only significant examples of a colonial treaty that's actually
still in action.
Yeah, still in action.
Grab that piece of paper and take it back and say, hey, we want our land.
Correct.
Sure.
And so it is cited as the foundational document of New Zealand, and it's also along with their constitution of equal importance in terms of writing laws and the rights of people.
Right. Very modern.
Indeed. Yeah. Now, the Maori are themselves Polynesian, and they only came to New Zealand not that long ago, maybe 800 years ago, just approximately, and that was the last major landmass on Earth to be occupied by humans.
Besides Toledo.
Besides Toledo. We're still waiting for sightings of humans.
Right.
Human culture, anyway. A Dutch explorer...
Wait a minute. Antarctica was occupied before New Zealand?
Antarctica is not considered inhabited.
Okay. All right.
It's not considered inhabited.
Only occupied by penguins.
It's occupied by penguins and very, very lonely scientists.
Morgan Freeman.
Right. Yeah. Right.
When Europeans first discovered the existence of New Zealand, it was in the 1640s, there was a Dutch explorer, Tasman, who there's many Australian sites named after Tasman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He sighted New Zealand.
That's a guy?
Yes.
That Warner Brothers cartoon character?
Right.
Is named after a Dutch explorer, yes, actually.
Okay. He must be furious.
What did Tasman originally call New Zealand on his first maps? This is, I will grant you, this is a pretty esoteric question, but the answer is so fantastic, I want to make sure it gets said during this discussion. Does anyone know what Tasman first called?
Toledo?
Good answer.
Yes, you get an A for the
is
best
that like
callback.
Van Diemen's Land, that's Australia, right?
New something, the new version of wherever he was from.
No, the name's New Zealand came a little after, I have to say.
How about just Zealand?
Sure. That's the older version, it
right?
makes sense.
Yeah.
But Zealand is part of where the Dutch live. There's a region called Zealand, and a Dutch explorer.
A zealous people.
Zealand 2.0.
Staten Island. New Zealand was originally called on a map Staten Island.
Nice.
Because Tasman thought he was in Staten Island.
It turns out he had his map upside down.
Right.
It turns out that in... Argentina, there is an island also called Staten Island. And he thought he was off the coast of Argentina.
There's a Staten Island in Argentina?
Yes.
Now?
Even now today, yes.
They're
you
still
don't
lost.
Have the map
They're
upside
lost,
down.
Right?
No.
I mean, isn't that the same idea of like the Native Americans being Indians first?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same
yeah.
idea?
Yeah.
yeah.
He went
Indians.
Over and was like, oh, we're in India.
Yeah. And they're still in India.
Yeah.
And then it was explorer James Cook that anglicized the Dutch name to New Zealand. And that's when New Zealand became this sort of a well-known name.
I get points for mentioning Cook earlier.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Let's do just a couple of more interesting statistics,
sure.
and then we'll mm-hmm. wrap up our discussion of New Zealand. As of 2013, what is the population of New Zealand?
I'm going to say 1.8 million.
I'm going to say 3 million.
Don't ask me numbers.
What's the texture
sheep?
Of?
yeah, it's very soft.
I think they're
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Humans
well,
or sheep? We're talking
well, they
about.
Say there's for every human there's 100 sheep,
okay.
and for every sheep there's 100 orcs.
Got it.
Uh huh.
Yeah. You said 3?
Yep.
I said 3 million.
Yep.
I said 1.8.
3 seems a little low.
Yeah. 4.5 million
nice.
New Zealanders.
4.5.
Of which. About a million do not live in New Zealand.
Right.
Over 600,000 live in the country of
Australia. That's like Australia. The population is 20 million, but 1 million lives abroad.
How many of them live in New Zealand? I just happen to have a statistic in my lesson plan.
Australians living in
New Zealand? Yeah.
Half a million?
Yeah. No, it's nothing like that. Like 65,000 approximately.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're all in bars.
Pretty much.
on
a diplomatic
manager. No one lives there.
You get 1,000 bonus points for knowing that. Due to its isolation, New Zealand has a very unique ecosystem.
Mm.
It's particularly known for its birds.
Mm-hmm.
No large mammals developed.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So instead of mammals, birds took those niches. There's two particularly famous birds. That New Zealand
Kiwi.
Is known for. Kiwi is one of them, correct.
Moa.
And
yeah,
Moa is the other.
Parrot. It's like the giant parrot,
like,
right?
Yeah, like a big, it's almost
well,
like a
Moa,
ostrich.
Well,
like?
The Moa
oh,
is.
Oh, sorry, no,
yeah. The
right.
Moa is extinct.
Right.
But it is larger than an ostrich, historically speaking. They could get 7 to 9 feet tall.
What's the. There's okay, you're right. There's also like a giant parrot
yes.
type thing.
Yeah. There
like
are.
A
Kia
or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Give each other some points.
Yes.
Yes.
You can have my gold star.
Thank you. So you have mine.
So, I mean, the parrots of New Zealand are some of the smartest birds in the world.
According to the parrots of New Zealand.
Yes.
Well, yeah, right.
But they wrote a book about it. Right. So
that's their grammar structure and their sentences are spot on.
Outstanding.
They use past participles.
Now, of course, the kiwi bird lends its name to some other products.
The fruit.
Right.
The fruit. Where does the kiwi fruit is not indigenous to the New Zealand islands.
It's not.
No, it's not.
South America.
South America is one vote. Anyone else think they know where the original kiwi fruit comes from?
Trade.
Toledo.
I'm going to go with Mars.
Earth was a better guess.
Right.
Toledo was not such a good guess.
Okay.
Oh.
China. The kiwi fruit originally comes from China, but the New Zealand soil is very fertile for fruit. So there was like a conscious effort, not just for that kiwi fruit, but for other fruits like plums and apricots. They brought all of these crops over. It is said, and that's why New Zealand wine is quite famous amongst wine connoisseurs. The soil there is arguably considered as good as in France. Of course, wine connoisseurs can debate that, but that's
New Zealand wine connoisseurs.
Yes.
This is what the parrots tell everyone.
Yes.
Right?
Well, the parrots make a great argument.
Right.
And the parrots do those things. Like they show the raptors in Jurassic Park, they like work as in groups. Like one will come over and distract you, and you'll literally be going, "What's that bird doing?" And then there'll be birds behind you stealing things out of your backpacks and things.
Wow.
When they have them in aviaries and zoos, they have to have double sets of doors.
Okay.
Because they know how to get in and out of doors. Like they just know how to, like, someone will open the door, they make some noise, people look up, and then a bunch of them escape. So they have double doors in the aviaries.
Hey, over here.
So not all the parrots in New Zealand are smart, because the one that distracts them is still stuck inside.
Martyr for the cause.
So it's 95% of the parrots in New Zealand.
But they
are
write
smart.
Lengthy odes to that parrot.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to return to my grade book and try to calculate the student with the highest grade. But before I can do that, I want to give you each one more chance for extra credit. This is your opportunity to elucidate the classroom with your own specialized knowledge or trivia. Does someone have some fun factoid you'd like to share? Jeff.
I would like to just begin by apologizing sincerely to the Bishop of Toledo for not realizing that he exists.
Well, or has an awesome house.
Or has an awesome house.
Right.
Yeah. Well, his God, should he exist, will give you points in the afterlife.
I'll hang out and wait for that.
Okay.
No, mine is more Australia-focused, but if I get my dates right, it was like England was sending... England wanted to send prisoners to America because it was quicker and easier, and they knew about America. Right. And I think a long, long time, a couple hundred years earlier, Cook or someone found it, Australia in that part. But they were still planning to send it to America. Then we had a revolution and became a country, and they're like, oh, where do we send these criminals? And they were like, oh, that one guy found this landmass way down there. Why don't we send our convicts there instead? So this is what I came to believe or heard is why Australia was colonized with the convicts, was because America became a country.
Uh-huh.
And England was like, oh, now what do we do? Yeah. Let's go down there.
Looking for something. Unlike Guantanamo Bay.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So I think that's true. I'll go to my grave with that.
Please.
Not now.
Okay. I was waiting.
Right. Okay.
I was staring at him expectantly, waiting to see what would happen next.
Yeah.
Well, extra credit. I thought the cook, the cook, the Captain Cook, he was the bad guy because he named everything's best one under his name. Like the highest mountain is Mount Cook, and then this place is called Cook something.
Yes.
But actually, I found that the Tasman, he's more stupid. Because he thought the island, what was it called?
Staten
yes.
Island.
Was South America.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Cookie Pants won.
Right.
What if it was Cook's mom who was naming all of this? And it wasn't actually Cook. And like his mom's like, oh, that's a good mountain. We'll name it after you. And Cook's like, no. Mom stop. Right? Everyone's making fun of me.
Well, so having calculated the final grades, there can be only one winner, and everyone in attendance of class today will have to agree that the golden banana goes to Shinako.
Oh, yay!
Yay!
Thank you very much. You guys are so kind. I'm happy to share this today, this time with gentlemen.
Yes, and so you should be.
And us.
And so that just remains for me, your host, to thank you, my students, Jeff, Mike, Shinako, for coming to today's class.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're all politely bowing right now.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
Bye-bye.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.